Good morning. Today's Daf and Rosh Hashanah Chav Zayin. We are on the very top of Chav Zayin. I'm an Alpha Piv Mitzupa Zahav. We are speaking out the details of the shofar and what is acceptable and unacceptable by shofar. We noted yesterday in the Mishnah the contrast between the shofar of Rosh Hashanah versus the shofar of Yovel, and also the Chatzotzos of Vatanis. So on three occasions, there's a mitzvah to blow, and what exactly are going to be the shape of the shofar. So that's what we discussed yesterday, both in the Mishnah and the short piece of Gemara that that followed. We are going to be continuing in the Mishnah, where we're going to be focusing on some of the details that are given regarding the shofar. So we said piv mitzupa zav, that as far as the mouth of the shofar is concerned, so it's going to be played with gold. The Atanya, the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you the problem. The problem is that zipah zav b'makam anachas piv pasul shalom b'makam anachas piv kasher. So we have a brisa, and the brisa says that if there's a plating of gold around the shofar, and it's right where you put your mouth on, so that means to say that when you're putting your mouth on, you're not actually blowing the shofar, but you're blowing on the gold. So that's no good. That's pasul. And but meanwhile, if there is some plating of gold somewhere else around the shofar, and it doesn't impact the sound whatsoever, so then it's going to be fine. So that's the brisa making a clear distinction. Isn't our Mishnah going against the brisa? The obvious answer, which the Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Kitanan Nami Masnisin Shloba Makamanachas Petanan." Yeah, our Mishnah is describing where the plating of the gold is not on the mouthpiece, but rather it's on some other part of the shofar. Good. Sheikh Chatzotzos Min Hatzdadim. So we gave an unusual description yesterday. And I only say unusual because it's not something we're used to seeing, and that is that on Rosh Hashanah, so they would blow shofar and trumpets, and what they would do is they would have on Rosh Hashanah the shofar featured in the center, and the trumpets flanked on the two sides. That's the description that's given. And then what would happen is that you would continuously blow the shofar even after the trumpets have come to a conclusion, because it's Rosh Hashanah and the ikar, and of course the main part is to blow the shofar. So, but meanwhile, what's happening over here is that there's a lot of horn blasting. So the Gemara says, "Vitrei kalim mimishtame." So the problem now is that the mitzvah is to hear the shofar. And meanwhile, what we're going to be hearing is that we're going to be hearing shofar, and we're going to be hearing trumpets as well. Trey color, that's different sensations that you're hearing, different sounds that you're hearing. And generally speaking, don't we say that you can't hear it? V'atanya, we learned in the Braisa, Zach v'sham Rabbi Dibur Echanemra, Ma'ashena pe'yachol adaber v'inoz n'yachol l'shmawa. So over here, this Braisa is noting a discrepancy between the first of the Aseret HaDibros and the second of the Aseret HaDibros. Now, there's more than one discrepancy, but one which is outstanding is that that in one of them it says Zachor is Yom HaShabbos Akadcho, and the other one it says Shamor is Yom HaShabbos. So which did Akash Baruch Hu say by Mamon Har Sinai? Obviously, he only said one of them, or seemingly he only said one of them. Mamon Har Sinai only occurred on one occasion. So which one did he say? So the Bryce over here says correct. That's right. He said both. He said Shamor and he said Zachor. Now, can a human do that? No, obviously no. In terms of articulation, so a human can only say one word. A human can't say two words. But meanwhile, Kadosh Baruch Hu can say both at the same time. He can do anything, and not only that, but he can have us hearing both at the same time. So Masha'ina pe yichol adaber veinoz yichol lishmoa. Under normal circumstances, this can't be done. Under normal circumstances, two people cannot be articulating, and that sound cannot make a coherent coherent message. And if you're on the receiving end, you can't make sense of it. Okay, so the problem now is that I have to hear shofar, and the Mishnah is describing where shofar and trumpets are both being blasted, and. Yes, there was an event in which we were able to hear both, but okay, put that aside. That was an unusual event. That was Mamon Har Sinai. Under normal circumstances, I can't make sense of the sounds that are being brought in. So the Gemara says, okay, lekach marich b'shofar. Okay, so the Gemara says, yeah, but I know what the solution is. Go back to the Mishnah. Read the Mishnah. So the Mishnah describes how we're going to be having trumpets and shofar being blown together. Good, but then the trumpets stop. And the shofar continues. So it's that continuation of shofar. That's the sound in which we're going to be fulfilling our mitzvah. So the Gemara says, really? That's interesting. So the Gemara says, okay, so of the shofar sound that was produced, where I had trumpets flanking it, and you're telling me that when the trumpets are being blown, so I hear nothing. Fine. And then only when the trumpets stop and then the shofar continues. So then I fulfill the mitzvah. Oh, that's interesting. So now what you're telling me is that even though I didn't hear the entire kol, I only heard the second half of the kol, that's good enough. And the Gemara says, okay, now let's extend and let's make a what seemingly is a reasonable conclusion. And that would mean then that if I heard the first half as opposed to the second half, that also would be fine. So the Gemara says, Tashma. The Gemara says, okay, but can we consider the following? Which is a Mishnah coming up later. When I say later in tomorrow's daf, the Mishnah says, let's say you do the following. So we know on Rosh Hashanah, we said we're going to blow Tekiah, Shura, Tekiah, Tekiah, Shura, Tekiah, Tekiah, Shura, Tekiah. Okay, now, over the course of the remaining of the balance of the Masechta, we're going to go into much greater detail in terms of how many sounds we actually need to produce. We end up producing, the Torah only requires 9 sounds, we produce 30 sounds, which ends up being 100 sounds. Okay, but that's coming up later in the Masechta. But meanwhile, let's pare it down to what the Torah wants from us. The Torah wants Tekiah, Shura, Tekiah, Tekiah, Shura, Tekiah, Tekiah, Shura, Tekiah. So let's say I do the following. This is an upcoming Mishnah, tomorrow's daf. Let's say I do Tekiah, Shura, Tekiah, and then for that third sound, so what I do is I extend the Tekiah, and now it's long enough where it could count for the third sound and the fourth sound. So now it'll be Tekiah, Shura, Tekiah, go long. Now that would also serve as the Tekiah for the next round, for the next series, for the second series. Okay. And the Mishnah says, and if you do that, you know what you have? You have one sound. Meaning you can't count that as two sounds. Even though in length, even though in duration, it's going to go two sounds long. Nevertheless, it won't qualify as two sounds. It will only qualify as one sound. So Amaiti Sakle Batarte. So the Gemara says, now, remember what you just taught me? You just taught me that a second half sound is good. You also taught me that a first half sound is good. So what's the problem? So over here, we have a first half sound, we have a second half sound. It's long enough to achieve a call for both, so why wouldn't it work? So the Gemara says, Psuke tikiasa me'adadilo paskinan. So the Gemara says, it works. The problem is, there's no hefsek. Meaning, in order to clearly have two separate sounds, there needs to be a physical break. So a first half sound in of itself works, and a second half sound in of itself works. But if there is nothing that's breaking up the two, so then it's not broken, and that's why we can't count it as two. But en achinami, first half or second half in of itself would be fine. So tashmatu ke l'tocha bor, l'tocha do, l'tocha pitam, or pitas. Im kol shofar shama yatsa v'im kol avar shama lo yatsa. So another mission that's also coming up later in the Masechta, and that is, let's say you blow into a pit. You blow into a pit or whatever, anything that produces an echo. Right, it's various types of structures where you're blowing into something and it's producing an echo. So did you fulfill your mitzvah? Well, it depends what you heard. If you heard the original sound, that's great. If you heard the echo, that's no good. And later we'll talk about why the echo is no good, but right now the assumption is the echo is no good. So the Gemara says, Amai lepuk b'tchilas tkiah, mikame delar v'evkala. So the Gemara says, okay, but we all know how sound works. Even before you hear the echo, you're hearing the original sound. The echo is only going to be on a delay. Okay, now granted, by the way, the delay is not going to be that long. And it's a little bit difficult to imagine that the sound prior to the echo is going to be long enough where you're going to be able to fulfill your mitzvah. But just for a moment, let's entertain the Gemara. And the Gemara is certainly suggesting that what we have now is a pure sound on the front end prior to the echo. And shouldn't that work? So the Gemara says, so why aren't you fulfilling your mitzvah under those circumstances? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay. So really what we're going to say is the following. We're going to do a redo on our original assumption. Our original assumption is trei kala la mishtame, period. The Gemara says, what I would like to suggest is, no. Really that when it comes to, from trei kala, when the two sounds are produced from two different sources, that you can hear. Okay? Right. And again, just think about it in terms of listening to a band. You say listening to a band and there are multiple musicians and multiple sounds that are being played. Yeah, but it's being produced from different sources and two people singing. So you can hear both of the sounds. The Gemara says if it's coming from two different sources, that's fine. That's mishtame. That in fact is going to be able to be heard. However, mechad gavre, but if it's coming from one source, So lo mishnami, it's not going to be heard. Which basically means that what the Gemara now is doing is that the Gemara is going back and the Gemara is revisiting all of its original assumptions. Meaning, if I trumpet to the shofar, I can't hear the shofar, right? So the Gemara says, no, that's not right. If there are trumpets and shofars and they're being blown by different people, so then you can hear it. It's possible to hear it. So up until now, we've been suggesting, well, what we're going to do is that we're going to ignore the first half and we're going to move to the second half and you're only hearing the second half. The Gemara now is suggesting, no, none of that's true. What we're now saying is that really the truth of the matter is that when the sound is being produced from different sources, so you get to hear everything. You get to hear the trumpets, you get to hear the shofar, and it's not first half versus second half. You get to hear everything. And now the Gemara is also backtracking on another assumption that it made. The Gemara's assumption is, well, if you hear second half, that's fine. If you hear first half, that's fine. The Gemara is now backtracking on that. No. If I hear first half, that's no good. If I hear second half, that's no good. I got to hear a sound from the beginning until the end. Okay, fine. And how does it work in our Mishnah? The way it works in our Mishnah is that since the sound is being produced from different sources, therefore it's fine. Okay. The Gemara says, okay, so now let's see if I have this straight. You're telling me that if multiple sounds are being produced from multiple sources, so then it's going to be fine. Gemara says, okay, how about let's consider the following. When it comes to the Torah, so one reads and the other one translates. Or the gear says, Yehe Echad Kore, Ushnaim Targumin. But here's what you can't do. You can't have multiple people saying Targum. Okay, back in the good old days, so when they would read Torah in Shul on Shabbos, so they would, right? Yemenites still do it. So what they would do, I went to Yemenite Shul on Shabbos morning. So what they would have one person read, they would have another person, Pasuk by Pasuk, translating in Targum. Now, for us, by the way, it wouldn't be helpful. Right, we would sit there, we would listen to Targum, and okay, right, you understand Targum? Okay, a little bit, right? And hopefully, right, if you do Shnayim Mikra Echad Targum, so you're going to become better at it. Okay, but anyway, but back in the day, that was the spoken language, everyone understood Targum, and so now, when one person read, and then immediately afterwards, somebody said Targum, so now, not only are you hearing the Torah, you get to understand the Torah, it's amazing. But meanwhile, it's very clear over here that you can't have two people saying Targum. Why? Even though it's coming from two different sources, Trei Kala La Mishami, can't hear what's being said. If two people are trying to do it, even if they're trying to do it at the same time, you're not going to be able to hear it. Okay, so we're really struggling. Meaning, we're trying to ascertain as to whether or not two sounds produced can be heard. So at this juncture, what we thought we arrived at is that if the two sounds are being produced from two different sources, that you can hear. Meanwhile, the Braisa says, no, you can't. So the Gemara says, Halo dami, alo sefer. The Gemara says, well, if you read a little bit further in that Mishnah, actually, yes. Two sounds produced even from two different sources, you can hear. It just depends on what is being sounded off. It just depends on what's being said. Because Bahalo v'Megillah, if you lost our current, when it comes to Halo, when it comes to Megillah, so you can have 10 people doing it simultaneously, and that would be fine. Okay, now, as far as the Megillah is concerned, just imagine for a moment, right? So you have the Baal Kori, but it's not Baal Kori, it's Baale Kriya. And they're all, I don't know, looking at the same Megillah, coming from different Megillahs, it doesn't really matter, seemingly. And they're all reading Megillah together. That, the Braisa says, would be fine. No problem. And for the listening audience, it would be fine. Same thing is true for Halo, right? We did this back in the third parak of Sukkah. Right, back in the good old days, so Hala was said by the Sheikh Sibor. Everyone listened. There was a couple of times that you responded. Okay, nowadays we all say it. Right, that in general, that's what happened over the years. Right, by benching. It used to be back in the good old days when you had a Zimun, one person would say the benching and everyone else would listen carefully. Okay, same thing was true regarding Hala. And over here in the Braisa, it tells us that even if I have multiple people saying Hala, still, you're going to fulfill your obligation by listening. Ah, so the Gemara says so. Now it comes out that by Halo Megillah, even if it's multiple voices, but obviously coming from different sources, so then that would be fine. Good, that fits in well with what we're saying. So the Gemara says, that fits in really well. What about Targum? Meaning you just, but in the very same braisa, you told me that by Targum, I can't have two people doing so. Why? Two people? That's two different sources. What's the difference? So Amma kevin de chaviv yaviv daite, hachanami kevin de chaviv yaviv daite, vishama. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. So if it's something which is chaviv. Now, chaviv means beloved. Okay, what makes something beloved? What makes something not beloved? So Rashi talks about its regularity, right? If you look at Rashi, it's one word in Rashi. I saw it before. Okay, not one word, three words. But anyway, Chaviva Allah, Chadashi Hilo. Okay, it's something which is literally new. I mean, Megillah is not new. I mean, we get to hear it every year. I assume what Rashi means is that it's a function of its regularity. Look, when you're listening to Torah, so it's every week. Granted, by the way, it's new material every week. Okay, I do hear that. But nevertheless, the point is that it's not something which is, oh, this is exciting, right? It's, you know, it's less exciting. But meanwhile, when it comes to Hallel, when it comes to Megillah, now Hallel is also interesting because it's not once a year. Hallel is more than once a year, right? It's, we have a minute to say it every month. In fact, today, Rosh Chodesh, so we're going to have a minute to say it. But nevertheless, the point is that it's something which is more irregular and therefore Yahiv Daite. So, basically, here's the conclusion of the Gemara. Okay, it's a that was a little bit of a bumpy road, but basically, what comes out now is as follows: that when I have two sounds being produced by one source, lo mishtame, it cannot hear it. If I have two sounds produced from two different sources, then you don't have to limit yourself to two; it could be five, it could be ten. But if it's produced from different sources, so now talui depends. What does it depend on? Depends on whether it's chaviv or ainu chaviv. So if it's chaviv, so then you can hear it. And if it's Eino Chaviv, so then you can't hear it. Okay. That's the conclusion of the Gemara.
There's a different in the Megillah. Megillah, they all say the same thing, one thing. Here you have a Shofar and a Hansa, which is two different things.
I mean,
it's not the same.
I like the point. I definitely like your point. The Gemara doesn't seem to be making a distinction, but I definitely appreciate your point. Okay. So that now, and what also comes out is that we thought originally that we extend the shofar blast beyond the trumpet blast so that we can hear the shofar. But the Gemara is backtracking on that. The Gemara is saying that's not true. That even when the shofar was complimenting the chatzotzos, I could hear everything because it's coming from two different sources. And chaviv, and it's beloved. So the Gemara says, okay, now with all that stated, el alama marich b'shofar. Okay, so new. So why are we extending the shofar? Because remember now, our conclusion now is that I can hear the shofar even with the chatzotzos. So why extend the shofar? So the Gemara says, lay the shemitzvah so yom b'shofar. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's easy. Meaning today it's Rosh Hashanah, mitzvah so yom is b'shofar. It's just simply to pronounce, to highlight that the mitzvah today is shofar, even though we're blowing it together with chatzotzos. Uvitanius b'shal zecharim kufufim mupiv mitzupa kesef, maishna hasam dezava maishna hacha de kesef. Gemara now is moving on to the next part of the Mishnah. The chatzotzos are going to be plated with silver. Silver, why not gold? So ibay zemakol kinufya dekesefu. So the Gemara gives two answers. Number one, when you assemble, so the metal of assembly, I know that sounds funny, the metal of assembly is silver. The Gemara says, I have a pasuk, dechsev. Asela chashte chatzotzos kesef. Torah says that when putting together your trumpets for getting to be people together, the trumpets need to be made out of silver. Okay. So, I'm sure the Gemara goes well deeper beyond that point. But right now, just suffice to say, silver is the metal when you want to get everyone together. So the Gemara says, or it could just simply be that the Torah wants us to be frugal. Okay, a number of times we find that the Torah really wants us to try to not waste and not spend money needlessly. Rashi cites the source for this, if you look at Rashi over here. So he says, V'tziva akon ufino sabai shalo yitamu kli cheres, shebesoch ushein lam tar b'mikva. Okay, possibly a neg in the house, possibly tzaras in the house. So what do you first do? So before getting a rendering a decision from a kohen, clear out the house. What are we talking about over here? Kli cheres, earthenware. It's really inexpensive. So let's say the kohen comes in and decides, okay, the house is now has tzaras. And now your kli cheres are going to become tameh. Okay, it's not that expensive. We'll get new kli cheres. Chasa, Torah, amamon, and sheyisol. No, the Torah wants us to not just simply waste money. So over here also, silver versus gold. So the Gemara asks now, you're probably thinking this question. Hasam nami nave de kesef. So the Gemara says, okay, so how about this? How about making the shofar out of silver as well? So afilo hachi kavad yam tovadev. The Gemara says, yeah, but there are counter considerations. This is not just one perspective where we always need to save money and that's it, period. No, in other words, this also depends, and you have to take other considerations into account, notably Yontif. So obviously Rosh Hashanah is connected to Yontif. So on Yontif, so you spend money. You spend money. L'chavad Yontif. So over here, as far as the shofar is concerned, so you have to take that into consideration. Okay. And obviously, this is not it. In other words, there are other considerations as well. But as far as our Gemara is concerned, so obviously we're going to move on. Rapapa bar Shmuel Savar le'me'avidu uvda k'masnisen. Okay, so you go to shul on Rosh Hashanah. You're blowing shofar. Okay, so now I read the Mishnah. So I know what to do. So, you need a Baal Tokeya. No, you don't need a Baal Tokeya. You need Baalei Tokeya. You need people who are going to be blowing, multiple people. And what we'll do is, well, just like what the Mishnah said, right? We'll have the shofar in the middle. We'll have the chatzotzos on the side. Okay? It sounds fantastic. Okay? And what a wonderful display. Okay, so is that right? And that's what we should do? So Amalei Rava, no, so Rava says no, clarification. Now, I did say this yesterday, but okay, good. Baruch Hashem, I happened to be that I knew the Gemara that was upcoming. So Amalei Rava, lo Amarela B'Mikdash. No. This, what the Mishnah is describing over here, is that specific, exclusive to the Beis HaMikdash. Tanya Amihachi, the Gemara gives us a brace as well, B'Medvar Mamorim, B'Mikdash Aval B'Gvulim, Makam Sheish Chatzos, Sein Shofar, Makam Sheish Shofar, Ein Chatzotzos. Okay, so this formation is limited only to the Beis HaMikdash, outside the Beis HaMikdash. No, in other words, on Rosh Hashanah, you use shofar. And on Tanias, you use chatzotzos, and that's it. Okay, now, I'd love to give you an explanation why, meaning why in the Beis HaMikdash is it done specifically with shofar and chatzotzos as well. I don't know. I don't have an explanation, but clearly that distinction is being made. V'chein hinig Rabbi Chalafta b'tzipor Rabbi Chananya ben Trajon. So it happens to be that Rabbi Chalafti in the town of Tzipor, Rabbi Chananya, in the town of Sichni, so they did, in other words, obviously outside of Yerushalayim, outside the Beis HaMikdash, so they did, and Rabbi Chananya and Trajan probably lived after Churban Bayis Sheni. But anyway, but they did like the Mishnah, meaning they did trumpets and shofar. So Cheshabad Davar Eitzel Chachamim Amar Lo, Lo Hayu Noagin Keinela B'Sharim Mizrach Havar Bayis Bavad. Now the matter came in front of the Chacham, and the Chachamim said, I don't know what you're doing. Meaning, yeah, trumpet shofar, yeah, that's in the Beis HaMikdash. That's by Har HaBayis. That's not here. In other words, here meaning outside of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, okay, so even though, there were great Tanaim who thought that the Mishnah is to be done outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but the Bryce over here says, but that's not the Minig. The Minig is, and Rosh Hashanah just shofar, and Tanya's just chatzotzos. Amar Rav Avitam Rav Yeshua ben Levi Maikra dichtiv b'chatzotzos v'kol shofar haril lifnei HaMelech Hashem. Lifnei HaMelech Hashem hu debinei chatzotzos v'kol shofar ava ba'amalo. Okay, the Gemara doesn't give us a svara, but the Gemara does give us a pasuk. Pasuk in Tehillim says that b'chatzotzos v'kol shofar. Okay, you use both. And lifnei Hashem. Okay, by the Beis HaMikdash. Good, so we have a drasha that tells us that this formation is only done in the Beis HaMikdash, not outside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. It's not a svara, but still, at least it's a drasha. Sheva yovel Rosh Hashanah l'tkiyah l'brachos. Okay, now, as we also pointed out in yesterday's Mishnah, so we're going to be blowing shofar by Rosh Hashanah and by Yovel as well. Now, when I say Yovel, so we've gone over this in numerous points, we mean on Yom Kippur of Yovel, right? Pasuk in the Torah, right? In Parshas Bahar, Perachav Hei. So the Torah says that once you get to Yovel, and specifically Yom Kippur of Yovel, so you're going to be blowing shofar, as we already pointed out. The word shofar itself is used in the context of Yovel. The word shofar is not used in the context of Rosh Hashanah. Stay tuned. Later in the Masechta, we're going to talk about how there's a limud connecting the two. But meanwhile, what our Mishnah told us is that as far as the mitzvah of tekiah is concerned, meaning how many times to blow and how to blow, so shava, they're equal. Also, the same thing is going to be true regarding brachas as well, meaning the Shemona Esrei of Yovel. Now, we don't observe Yovel nowadays, so we don't, right? We haven't done so for a really long time, but if we were observing Yovel, not only would we be blowing shofar on that Yom Kippur, but we'd also insert the special Shemona Esrei. What special Shemona Esrei? What we call Mustaf of Rosh Hashanah, meaning Malchus Zichronos V'Shofros, meaning so that special Mustaf is going to be said on the Yom Kippur of the Yovel year because we're blowing shofar. And later we'll talk about how basically when the Chachamim were Misakin Mustaf for Rosh Hashanah, they did so tailor-made for the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar. We'll talk more about that later, but anyway, but the Mishnah tells us, shove it. It's all on equal footing. Amar of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Kama Matzlina Ne'idna. Look at the Nusach of the Rosh Hashanah. Now, the Nusach of Rosh Hashanah was put together by Anshei Knesset Sagadola. But obviously, they're doing so Alpi Mesorah and Alpi Nevuah as well. And what's the nusach? Zeh hayom tchilas ma'asecha zichron liyom rishon. Ah. And we say, zeh hayom tchilas ma'asecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you created the world on this day. And now, obviously, we're on the first day of Tishrei. Good. So what does it sound like? It sounds like the world was created in Tishrei. Now, you remember, you recall, we did this already back in the first parak. Was the world created in Tishrei? It's machlokas. Machlokas between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said the world was created in Tishrei. Rabbi Yoshua says the world was created in Nisan. And remember, everyone took a stand on this issue in terms of which position do we follow. Meanwhile, the Nusach of Tefillah seems to clearly follow the position of Rabbi Eliezer. So, Keman K'Rabbi Eliezer, Dam Rabbi Tishrei Nivra Olam. So, fine. So, it sounds like the Nusach certainly sounds like we're following like the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. So Meza Rav Eina says, yeah, that's very good, but it's not very good. Because consider, Shava Yovel Rosh Hashanah Tkiel LeBrachos. What about our Mishnah here in the third Perek? Because our Mishnah says that when you get to Yovel now on Yovel, so you're not by Rosh Hashanah, you're by Yom Kippur. And now what? You're saying, Zeh HaYom Tkiel Ma'asecha? Today you created the world? It's not true. It's 10 days later. So Vayika Zeh HaYom Tkiel Ma'asecha Zichron Liyom Rishon? The Rosh Hashanah, Isa over Yovel Leisa. Now it's true on Rosh Hashanah, but it's not true on Yovel. And again, by Yovel we mean Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says Ki Ketani Ashar. The Gemara says, you're right, but not every detail they're going to be Shava. Meaning on most issues they're going to be Shava, but not in every single detail. And Achinami, you're right. When you get to Yovel, so that part of the Nusach is going to be taken out. Okay. Rav Shisha Bered Ravidi Masni Hache, a slightly different formulation of the discussion we just had. I'm Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Hadidnan, Shavah Yovel, Rosh Hashanah, Tkiel Abrachos, Kemanda Loka Rebbe Eliezer. Okay, so in the second version, it's basically going to be the same point. It's just simply formatted a little bit differently. And that is that after having cited our Mishnah, it sounds like it's not going like Rebbe Eliezer. D'i Rebbe Eliezer, Kemendam Rebbe Tishrei Nivra Olam, Ha'ika Zeh Ayom, Tchilas Ma'asecha, Zirchon Liyam Rishon, Debra Shoshana Yisra V'Yovel Eisa. Because according to Rebbe Eliezer, the Nusach would not make sense to be said on Yovel. So the Gemara says, Ki Ketani Asha'ara. But again, in the second version, the conclusion is going to be the same, which is Enachinami. For the most part, it's going to be the same, but not in every detail. Meaning, okay, on Yovel, we'll take out a little bit of the Nusach, because Enachinami, you're right, it doesn't belong. Our Gemara over here, Rav Eino over here, seems to take a really clear and hard position that the world was created in Tishrei. Sounds great. The only problem is that you go back to the first parak, which we did a couple weeks ago. That doesn't seem to be the conclusion of the first parak. And Tosos notes this very point. You can see the third Tosos over here. Come on, Matzlin, Zal Yom Tchilas Ma'asecha. Tema Ha'kamelan Kereb Yoshua, because I'm in a bit of Parakama. Litzkufa Kereb Yoshua. Meanwhile, go back to the first parak, and the Gemara said over there, pretty definitively, that the halacha falls like Rabbi Yoshua, not like Rabbi Eliezer. The world was created in Nisan, not in Tishrei. And so, get a little bit confused. We are a little bit confused in terms of whether the world was created in Nisan or in Tishrei. Our Gemara of Ena sounds like created in Tishrei. The Gemara previously in the first parak says the world was created in Nisan. So which is correct? So it brings us to a fascinating and popular shita of Rabbeinu Tam. You skip a little bit in the Tosfos. So he quotes over here, B'shem Rabbeinu Tam, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Ela ve'ela divrei Elokim chayim. Okay, they're both right. The world was created in Nisan, the world was created in Tishrei as well. So, right, an attempt for many tkufas, for many generations to try to synthesize various positions, even though they seem to be in conflict. So over here, it's agadata. And I say agadata, by the way, it's obviously much more than agadata. It's a question of when the world was created. But over here, it's just easier to synthesize. Meaning, when you have a machlokus of mutter versus aser, so over there, it's a little bit more challenging to synthesize. But something like this, so Rabbeinu Tam says, elu ve'elu, you can synthesize it. And that is v'ikalamem, de betishrei ela b'machshava lebaros v'lo nivra ad nisan. So Rabbeinu Tam says that there were two stages of the creation of the world. There was Tishrei, where it's ela b'machshava, Kadosh Baruch Hu had the thought, again, to the best of our understanding of what that means, but Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, he designed it, he planned it, he thought about it in Tishrei, and then when 6 months later, when it comes to Nisan, so then he actually created the world. So that's the that is the synthesis of the two positions, and it could be Eilu Ve'Eilu. Our Gemara here on Chav Zayin is correct, and the Gemara earlier back on Daf Yud Beis is also correct, Eilu Ve'Eilu. That's the Shita Rabbeinu Tam, to try to make shalom between the positions. We are on the very bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. We're starting the new Mishnah. More details regarding the shofar. So shofar shenizdak v'davka pasal. So let's say your shofar cracked. Now, literally, the word nizdak means cracked. Rashi, the way Rashi seems to be describing it, is actually broken to two pieces. And so what do you do? So good, so you take out your glue and you glue it back together again. So right, so that's good, right? So the Mishnah says it's not good, it's pasal. And similarly, dibik shivrei shofar is pasal. Similarly, if let's say you have pieces of a shofar and you put it together with glue, that's also going to be pasal as well. Rashi writes over here in the Mishnah, the havala kishnei shofars. The problem now is that if I have a shofar that's composite of multiple pieces, it's shei shofars. Now, Tosus points out over here that the way Rashi is saying over the Mishnah, it's a little bit funny. If my shofar broke into two pieces and I glued it back together again, that's no good. And then what's the next part of the Mishnah? And if I have many pieces and I glue them together, that's no good. Once I know the first point, then I need to say the second point. Second point seems to be totally extraneous. Okay. See Tosos. Tosos is bothered by that very question. Tosos gives a somewhat different shot in the Mishnah. Anyway, we're going to go on. But, okay, just I'm highlighting what is the obvious problem with Rashi. Tosos points it out. Nikev, we're on to the next part of the Mishnah. So let's say now you have a hole in your shofar. Usisamo. And so what do? You plug it up. So im akif is a tkiya pasul v'im lav kasher. So if it's causing is an ikov, let's say ikov literally means stops up, but let's interpret it to mean that if it changes. So if it creates a change in the sound, so then pasul, but im lav kasher. But if it doesn't change the sound, then it's going to be kasher. Okay, at this juncture, it is really unclear exactly what's happening over here at this point in the Mishnah in terms of, you know, the shofar as a whole, and you plugged it up. Now, what we know clearly in the Mishnah is that the halacha will depend on whether there's an ikuv or there's no ikuv. If there's an ikuv, it's no good. If there's no ikuv, so then it would be fine. What exactly are we describing over here? What's the ikuv? What's the change that would render it no good? Okay, so once again, over here, a lengthy discussion. You can see Tosos over here on the top. Tosos, the one that runs a little bit long. So and Tosos, based on the Yerushalmi, says the following. I'll show you I'll highlight a couple lines in the Tosos. Drop down all the way to the bottom of the Tosos. Lekach nira. It's about 8-9 lines down from where Tosos finishes. Lekach nira vadi lefarish mikom mekom di im akif is a tkiya la'achar shisasamo. So the changing of the sound is after you plug it up. Meaning Tosos argues, and it's based on the Yerushalmi, that if you just have a hole in your shofar, okay, that's no big deal. In other words, okay. So the sound is coming out of two spots. Okay, fine. That's fine. The problem now is that what happens if I plug up that hole? So it changes the sound. And Tosos says, Mikom akom di'im akif is a tkiya la'achar shisamo kamar. Uvishami kitanim bemilsa derabanim bein bemina bein shalom bemino im akev atkia pasul v'imlav kasher v'chem betosefta v'afilu hachi kamerin b'yushami demasisen Rabbi Nasan u'maskanet deshmaita v'alach lamaisen yered deshofer shenike v'samo bemino. So let's say now what happens is that you have a hole in your shofar and you plug it up. Now Tosus over here talks about it depends on what material you use to plug it up. Why is Tosus mentioning that? So it happens to be that that's going to be coming up in our Gemara, which we're going to see in just a couple minutes from now. So v'chazer l'kolo l'kamosha haya mitchilasa kodem shenikev leiz din v'leiz dayin dekasher. So if I plug it up and I use the same material, meaning I use shofar material, so then, and it produces now the sound that it produced originally, so Tosa says under those circumstances, that's fine. Afilo hachi dekasher, afilo haya ma'akev atkia kodem shenistam. The perish zeikar, the imakif is a tkiya la achar shenistam kamar. Tosus is convinced, based on the Yerushalmi, that the ikav hatkiya, the change of the sound, is only after you plug it up. Meaning, if I didn't plug it up whatsoever, and I just simply had a hole, and yeah, there's some air escape, that would be fine. But once you plug it up, so now it's only going to be good, but only if it produces the original sound. That's the way Tosus understands the Gemara. Tosus is not the only pshat in the Gemara, but for our purposes right now, We'll leave it at that. Hatokeya. We're back to the Mishnah, second line down. Hatokeya l'socha bor, l'socha dus, l'socha pitam, im kol shofar shama yatsa, v'im kol avar shama lo yatsa. Okay, so we heard this Mishnah already, but now we get to see it actually in the Mishnah itself. You're blowing. So if you hear the original sound, great. If you're only hearing the echo, that's no good. Let's say you walk behind a shul on Rosh Hashanah. Let's say your house is right next to the shul. Vishama kol shofar kol Megillah. And let's say you hear the shofar, or for that matter, you hear the Megillah. Meaning it doesn't matter what you're listening to. You're listening to something that you needed to listen to. And im kiven libo yatsa v'im lav lo yatsa. So with kavani or yotze, with no kavani or not yotze. Alpha pisha zeh shama v'zeh shama zeh kiven libo v'zeh lo kiven libo. So basically, we have two people that are hearing it, and one person's Yotze, and the other one's, it was not Yotze, but it's just a function of Kavana. The one who had Kavana is Yotze, the one who didn't have Kavana is Eino Yotze. Tomorrow's daf where the Gemara is going to be discussing one of the more classic issues throughout Shas, whether or not mitzvahs tzrichos Kavana, or mitzvahs do not require Kavana. It sounds like from our Mishnah that our Mishnah is taking a really clear position on this issue. Mitzvahs do in fact require Kavana. Stay tuned. In tomorrow's daf, we're going to be discussing that very issue. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, we're just going to run through. Some of this is going to be repetitive, but it's prices. So, Aruch v'katzro, kasher. Okay, this is a new point. Let's say the shofar happens to be particularly long, and I want to shorten it. Okay, I know some people have these really long, swirly shofars, in their house, and okay, that's fine. But you want to shorten it, so that's fine. So guard of emi do agal do kasha. Let's say it happens to be a really thick shofar, and I would like to thin it out. In other words, literally scrape off some of the exterior. That's fine. That also would not be a problem. Okay, this part we already heard this morning, and that is that if I have the gold plating where my mouth is, that's no good. If I have gold plating on other parts of the shofar, and it doesn't change the sound whatsoever, that's fine. Now, if the gold plating is interior, so that's going to be problematic. If, in fact, it's going to be changed, on the interior, no good. On the exterior, it's fine, but as long as it doesn't change the sound. Okay. And what if there's a hole, and then I plug it up? So if it goes back to its original sound, that's fine. And if it doesn't, it's going to be, it'll be puzzle. Okay. And I just said over the shot in the brisa, like Tosfos said. Nothing shofar b'soch shofar. Let's say I put one shofar inside of another shofar. Im kol panimi shama yatsa v'im kol chitzon shama lo yatsa. So the way Rashi seems to present it is that as long as I'm blowing on the interior shofar and the sound is coming out from the other side of the interior shofar, that's fine. But it's hard. But let's say I'm producing the sound using the exterior shofar, where now the interior shofar is certainly going to be changing and modifying the sound that's produced. That's no good. Tana Rabbanan, gardo beim mifnim beim mechutz kasher. So if I'm scraping off, so here scraping doesn't matter whether I'm scraping from the outside, scraping from the inside. Gardo veemidal gildo kasher. Let's say I scrape it down to a really thin shell. Doesn't matter. That'd be fine. So hiniach shofar b'zoch shofar im kol panimi shama yatsa v'im kol chitzon shama lo yatsa. Here in this brisa, again a point which we already said over, and we're just putting together all the brises on this topic. And that is that if I blow a shofar within a shofar, so if I'm blowing on the interior shofar, that's great. If I'm blowing on the interior shofar will serve as some form of chatzitz, and it's no good. Havcha v'taka bo lo yatsa. What if I turn the shofar inside out? And that's funny, turning the shofar inside out. In other words, I'm sure you've handled a shofar before. It's really hard to manipulate. Okay, fine. But in other words, with a little bit of heat and there is some means in which you can go ahead and manipulate. Now, Amara Papalotema da Hafke Kikatuna. Now, when we're talking about turning the shofar inside out, it doesn't mean like your shirt. In other words, inside out like your shirt. That's not the pshat of the Mishnah or the Braisa. So Elo Shehirchev is a katsav kitzer sarachav. So the Gemara says no. What it means is as follows. The shofar is still going to be, the exterior is the exterior, the interior is the interior. But what you did in terms of manipulation is that you took the wide side, you narrowed it. And again, I guess with heat and whatever. You go to somebody who knows how to manipulate the shofar. And you took the narrow side and you made it wider. That's what the Bryce is describing. That's no good. My time of Rav Masna, Dama Rav Masna, Vavarta Derech Ha'avaraso Be'inan. Because when blowing in the shofar, it's one directional. In other words, there's only one way and one way only to blow the shofar. To go from narrow to wide, not from wide to narrow. And even though you physically manipulated it, but you can't redirect the shofar. In other words, that's going to be puzzle, and so you must be blowing always on the narrow side. Dibik shivrei shofar's pasul. Tan rabbanan hosif alav kol shehu bein bemino bein shelo bemino pasul. So let's say you add something to the shofar, whether it's mino, whether it's eno mino, it's not going to be good. Nikev, but if all we're talking about is just a hole, the visasmo, and then you filled in the hole, bein bemino shein bein shelo bemino pasul. So whether or not you filled it in with mino or eno mino, it will be pasul. Now over here in the brisa that we're learning right now, it doesn't seem to make a distinction between the sound that's produced. Okay, so, but according to the Tanakama, so you plug up the hole, that's no good. And Rabbi Nassan Omer, Bimino Kasha Shalom, Bimino Pasol. So according to Rabbi Nassan, it depends on what material I use to plug up the hole. If I'm using shofar material to plug up the hole, it's fine. If I'm using some foreign material to plug up the hole, that's no good. Now, it's not clear. Is Rabbi Nassan over here giving us a chomer or giving us a kula? Good. Go back to the Tosfos. I'm not going to go through it right now, but go back to the Tosfos for a discussion of what Rabbi Nassan is adding over here, meaning making this distinction between mino versus eno mino. Is it with a change of the sound? Is it not with a change of the sound? Good. So the Gemara discusses a little bit more. Bimino kasher, am Rav Yochanan v'hushnishtai ruba. So fine. So if I have a hole and I plug it up with shofar material, that's going to be kasher, but the Rabbi Yochanan says, but with the provision that you still maintain most of the original. So mechlal de shalom bimino afa pishnishtai ruba pasul. So the Gemara says, okay, now, with the really clear diuk that if I used foreign material to plug up the hole, even though I had the majority of the shofar, of the original shofar, it still wouldn't be good. Igid amasin la seifa. Now, another version of how to say this over. Shelo bimino pasul. If it's shelo bimino, it would be pasul. Am Rav Yochanan v'hu shenifchas rubo. That's only if most of the original shofar is gone. Mechlal de bimino alfa pisha nifchas rubo kasher. So that means to say that if I'm using mino, if I'm using shofar material in order to reconstruct the shofar, even if I don't have the original of the majority, it still would be fine. Okay, so, and obviously, different conclusions arrive based on whether I'm learning the first version of Rav Yochanan or the second version of Rav Yochanan. Sipahu zahav, mi bifnim pasul mi bechutz, im nishanakolo, mi kamosha haya pasul, vi im lav kasher. Okay, what if I play with gold? Now I know. A couple times already today, we're going over this, but again, the Gemara is just putting together a series of brisos. So let's say I plated with gold, interior, no good. Exterior, depends. If it changes the sound, no good. If it doesn't change the sound, so then it would be fine. Nizdak la arko pasul. Let's say there's a crack along the length of the shofar, so no good. Lerochvo im nishay broshir tkiya kasher v'im la pasul. Now, let's say there is a crack, but not along the length, but along the circumference. So that's fine. Meaning even if the crack goes all the way around, as long as what's remaining is a kasher shofar, meaning the minimum dimensions of a kasher shofar, that would be fine. V'kama shir tkiya, so good. So now what would be your small shofar? So perishar shem gamlel kadesh shiachzo b'yado v'yireh l'kan l'kan. So the answer, says the Gemara, is that you're holding the shofar in your hand, and there's a little bit extending on both sides. Okay, so that would be the minimum size of a shofar, which means that in length, your shofar's got to be a little over a tefach. What about the sound that's produced? Does it matter whether or not it is thin or thick or tsarur, abrasive? So the Brisa says it does not matter. Kol hakolos ksherim. Okay, there is a discussion to be had whether in one sound that you're producing, let's say you go up and down and up and down in the different sounds. Okay, unclear whether or not that's acceptable. It happens to be it's a machlokus amongst the later poskim. Shachule lavudishmo kadcho v'taka bo yatsa. So the Gemara quotes now the following. Let's say you drill a hole through the shofar and you blow. So they say in the name of avudishmo kasher, that'd be fine. That'd be no problem. So pshita, the Gemara says, do you know what we call that? We call that a shofar. I mean, that's what everybody does. Pshita kulanami mikdech kadcho lehu. So I'm Ravashi Shikatcho Bizakhru Samao Detema Min Beminuchotit Kamashwan. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what we all do. Meaning what we do is as follows. We cut the horn, and then what we do is we scrape out all the bone. That's what we do. And then we blow in the shell of what we call a shofar. What Avud Shmuel is describing is that you are actually taking a drill, a thin drill, and you're just drilling through the bone. So now what it means is that as you're blowing through the shofar, so fine, you're producing a sound, but the sound is not hitting the shell. The sound, what we call the horn, the shofar. The sound is actually going through the bone. And so I would have thought that that's min bemino, that's a chatzitza, and that would be no good. And what we're coming to learn is that's fine. Let's just do a little bit more for today. Hatoke l'toch habor l'toch hados, am ravuna l'shon l'osan am demasfas habor. Ava osan ha'om dim bebor, yatsu. The people standing in the pit themselves, so they're going to be yotzei. Meaning when the Mishnah describes you hearing the echo and not being yotzei, it's talking about those people who are outside the pit. Tanya mihachi, the Gemara quotes a brisa supporting this as well. Hatokel tochabor tochadut yatsa, vatanan lo yatsa, alala shmamina, kid Rav Huna, shmamina. Okay, so Rav Huna is correct, meaning that there is a distinction to be made between the people standing outside the pit versus the people standing in the pit. Ika deramile mirma. Okay, we're going to say the same thing over, just slightly different format. Tanana tokela tochabor tochadut lo yatsa, vatanya yatsa. We have one brisa saying it's no good, the other brisa saying it's good. So I'm Rav Huna lo kasha, kan lo osan ma'om dim asfas abor. Kan la osan naomdim babur. So the Gemara says, good. So we are making a distinction between those people in the pit versus those people outside the pit. Okay, adkan. We'll stop over here.